This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits, one that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com, that's Organifi.com, and type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. When it comes to losing unwanted weight, public enemy number one is belly fat. Hidden beneath those unwanted love handles and beer belly, you can develop visceral fat, which increases your risk of diabetes, liver disease, strokes, heart disease, and some cancers. But what exactly causes belly fat, and what can we do to reduce it? Joining us today to discuss this topic is Dr. Travis Stork, host of the Emmy Award-winning talk show, The Doctors. His new book is called The Lose Your Belly Diet, Change Your Gut, Change Your Life. And it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman. Changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a number one New York Times best-selling author, board-certified emergency medicine physician, and host of the Emmy Award-winning talk show, The Doctors. He's also on the medical advisory board for Men's Health magazine, an expert medical contributor to many national publications and news programs. Welcome back to the show, author of The Lose Your Belly Diet, Change Your Gut, Change Your Life, Dr. Travis Stork.
Thanks so much for having me back on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure having you show. Now, your latest book focuses on the dreaded belly fat, which can actually lead to visceral fat, the unhealthy kind of fat. Share why belly fat is a focal point of your latest book.
Well, it's belly fat, but it's really a new twist on it. So I went with the title, The Lose Your Belly Diet, with the subtitle, Change Your Gut, Change Your Life, because I've been doing so much reading over the last few years about the gut microbiome, which for folks who haven't heard that term, refers to all the gut bacteria that hang out and live in your gut. And I was reading more and more about how big of a role they play in not only how much we weigh, but our risk for several other chronic illnesses. And it really became a passion project for me doing the research into this book. And so the book really keys in on a few unique new concepts. And one of the things I recommend is eating every day, eating one type of food that has probiotics, and then really focusing on this concept of prebiotics, which all the tried and trues, higher fruit, vegetable intake, but also whole grains with all their great fiber in them.
Yeah, that's a new concept, prebiotics. People haven't heard of that. Is that something that people eat prior to certain activities or eating, or as a food? Explain what that means.
Well, the term arose because people, almost everyone's now heard of the term probiotics. And what a lot of people don't realize is when they eat probiotic-rich foods, and in the book I go through all the types of foods out there that have probiotics in them, you're actually getting the bacteria. The probiotics represent those good bacteria that, hey, if we have more of them, that's a good thing. But the prebiotics refers to these fiber-rich foods that actually feed those gut bacteria. So the pre-term really does refer to this is food that you're giving for, in the book I call them your little buddies. Because as you know, doctors for a long time, we've taught people that bacteria are bad. Let's win the war on bacteria. And in this book, I've really started to change the conversation to we shouldn't be having a war against bacteria. They're actually, for the most part, our friends. And in my research, lean people actually have 70% more gut bacteria, and there's 100 trillion in some folks of these bacteria hanging out in our guts. And I just think it's been a topic that's been overlooked. So I really I really hone in on the types of foods and recipes, and I'll just call it foods that feed your buddies.
Right.
And that's now, kind of the concept I went with on the book.
Yeah, you talk about foods that feed your buddies, which is the good guys down there. Do you mention foods that maybe destroy gut flora? Is there any foods we should watch out for that do the opposite?
Well, I really do get into the book a lot of the reasoning behind why not only have our waistlines expanded, but our gut bacteria populations have been decimated. And it's everything from highly processed foods that have no fiber in them to, quite frankly, there are so many antibiotics in our food system. And antibiotics, even if you take an unnecessary round of antibiotics for a cold, they destroy your gut bacteria as well. So it's really taken a fresh new look at, okay, do we need to be using all these super concentrated chemicals in our homes? And even tackling the question of when do I versus when do I not need to use antibacterial soap? So the book isn't just about food. It's really about other steps you can take as well to build up your microbiome.
Right. I notice after the age of 40, men seem to keep the same size belt. They just roll their fat pad over it, which same size, but it just seems to roll over. That brings up a good question. Men and women store fat differently. Women tend to gain fat in their hips, butts, thighs, and lower abdomen, whereas men are more prone to that full-blown belly fat, or hence the term beer belly. Can the same diet benefit both sexes equally, or do women have it a little bit more tougher than men?
Well, at the end of the day, it can benefit both equally. Obviously, you raise a really good point about some of the unique differences between men and women. But the thing that I found the most interesting with this book is when I even called it the Lose Your Belly Diet, it's not always just about pounds, because one of the things that we found when we put people on a test group or in a test group was that a lot of folks were losing that bloat, both men and women, because, yeah, when you lose weight, you might be able to drop a few inches of pure belly fat. But the other thing is, when you eat this way and you build up that microbiome and you improve bowel regularity, people were losing inches of just that belly bloat. And the thing also that you alluded to, which is important, is I don't know that a lot of food plans out there are designed necessarily for guys.
Right.
And I really wanted in this book to talk not just to women, but also men. And that's why I have recipes in here for nachos and burritos and what you would consider to be game day type foods, but a healthy twist on them. Because men, let's face it, you know, a lot of us men could.
Definitely. I know in Chapter 9 of your book, you say, don't give up on grains. I'll tell you, I'm so happy to see you debunk these anti-grain fad diets. For decades, we've been told heart-healthy whole grains give us needed fiber and nutrition, but so many experts are literally, Doc, going against the grain. Even grandma-approved oatmeal is getting a bum rap. Share your opinion on eating grains.
I will say one of the most frustrating things that I have to do on the doctors, and you have to do it on your radio show, it's debunking some of these myths out there. And there are all these books and claims that wheat is the devil. And what's really interesting is you mentioned oatmeal, but when you look at all the other grains out there, and there are so many different kinds that people probably have never tried, barley, bulgur, the list goes on and on. These grains, when eaten in their full form, are loaded with fiber, loaded with nutrients, and the data is indisputable in terms of its ability to lower our chronic disease risk profile. So, obviously, if someone has celiac disease, they need to avoid the grains that have gluten in them. But I'll tell you what, two things for me. Number one, grains can be really healthy for you. Number two, the reason that I love the idea of bringing grains back on the table is they're satisfying. And
right. And
people who have gone on super low-carb diets, one of the reasons why they suffer in the long term staying on is because everyone just says, God, I miss occasionally having a piece of bread. Well, you can have a piece of bread, and all these great whole grains make it not only scrumptious, but the nutrient profile is great, especially when you're starting to talk about this concept of feeding your little buddies and building up your microbiome. Because I'll finish with this thought on grains. grains are such a cheap, reliable source of fiber for so many people. Again, whole grains here is what I'm referring to. And unfortunately, what they're finding in some studies is in families where they don't get enough fiber, the parents, certain gut species are dying off, and then they're not being passed from generation to generation. And that could be one of the reasons why we're seeing obesity traveling in families. And so the book really does try to get rid of some of these myths out there, and that's why I did an entire chapter about not giving up on grains, because it really does get back to what a great fiber source.
Oh, I agree. My view is this. I'm curious to see if you agree. Trust your gut. I mean, I eat oatmeal 3 times a week. I feel great. I'm energized, vibrant. I feel full all morning. But oatmeal isn't for everybody. If somebody eats oatmeal and they don't feel really good that morning or bad afterwards, hey, give it up. It's not for you.
Your body kind of talks to you. Good point, which is we're all individuals, and if you don't tolerate a specific food, by no means, do not eat it. But oatmeal, man, what a great food to lower cholesterol naturally, too.
Exactly. One thing I want to share, which I'm sure it's going to get all the ladies excited, Dr. Stork's new book has a chapter called Let's Get Dirty. All right, girls, get your mind out of the gutter. Get it out of the gutter. Dr. Stork, what does getting dirty mean, and how does it help our gut?
Well, you sound like you're promoting a segment on The Doctor. Let's Get Dirty, everyone.
Yeah, I saw that. I said, oh, that's going to happen. We just had some people that were drinking their coffee. Go, whoa, why don't you get this book? Why do we need to get dirty?
Yeah, if people are excited about a chapter about dirty sex, they're going to be disappointed. But at the same time, a lot of parents, I think, will be relieved. I really do have an entire part of the book on other ways to boost gut health. And one of them is get dirtier. We live in such a sterilized society right now that especially kids, a lot of them are growing up not exposed to typical germs in the environment. And I tell parents, look, let your kids play in the dirt. Let your kids play with animals. Kids that have pets in the home have a more robust gut microbiome, have lower risk of asthma and allergies. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't, in my own home, I just use regular soap and water, none of the super harsh chemicals. Because when I get home, I don't let my dog come up to me and get some of the dirt that she picked up during the day on me. I'm not afraid of that stuff. And I think that most people probably have too great of a fear for these germs and for quote-unquote dirt.
Yeah, what about these moms that pour hand sanitizer on their kids every chance they get? Doesn't allowing children to play in the dirt and then put it in their mouths actually help them stay healthier down the road?
Well, and I do talk about this in the book. Obviously, you want to be sensible about it. You don't want your kid to take something that's, potentially full of infectious disease germs and have them put it in their mouths. But yeah, and one of the things that's been disheartening to me is I think a lot of us, in the medical community, before we really understood how beneficial these bacteria could be to us that we find in the dirt, I think we really did probably overhype a little bit cleanliness. And we're oftentimes afraid to tell our kids, you know what, go ahead, play out back. And nowadays, I think this is a relief to parents, because if you do let your kids play out back, or heck, get a couple of hens in your backyard, and you can with those chickens, you can. Heck, we have friends around here who have their own little farms where they grow their own eggs, and the kids are the ones who go out and pick the eggs, and all that stuff is great for kids. And if you live in an urban environment, occasionally take your kids out to farms and give them a chance to play in the dirt, so to speak.
Yeah, interesting. I read a study how nail biters get sick the least. Interesting study, because they're always smally putting little, microbes, bacteria in their mouth, and I guess we build a resistance. But I thought it was a neat study, whereas, you'd think they would be the sickest because they're touching things and putting their hand in their mouth. So there's something to it. So I agree with that. One thing I want to ask is, last time we featured the Doctor's Cookbook, and in this you had some really great swap this for that recipes. How do the recipes in Lose Belly Fat differ? Will they focus more on colon health, these little bugs that you're talking about?
Well, focusing on getting at least one probiotic food every day, and whether it's a lot of people know about yogurt, which is obviously a great source of probiotics, but in the book I talk about everything from fermented sauerkraut, recipes with fermented sauerkraut on, which happens to be a great source of probiotics. Kefir smoothie recipes, where kefir is another fermented dairy product that is loaded with probiotics. Even miso, tempeh, some terms people may not have ever heard of. So utilizing recipes that give you these probiotic-rich foods, but then also going ahead and taking the fact that we live in a day and age where, yeah, we have a lot of unhealthy processed products out there, but I tell people, look, here's a great way to make nachos where you use a chip that is actually made out of beans and legumes. And so a lot of the recipes will take a particular type of food, and again, I'll use nachos as an example, and instead of regular fried chips, you're using a bean-based chip, and you're getting that extra fiber, which is the prebiotic, and then instead of sour cream, you're using yogurt, which is the probiotic. So there's all these little fun twists on food that you can utilize that don't have to, you know, you don't have to run for the hills and never eat the food you like.
See, I think that's important. That's what I love having on the show is you're not, you don't do the takeaway. The word diet has the word die in it, D-I-E. And, you know, if you're forced to follow a strict stay off this, stay off that, and that's one thing I commend you on. You don't have the it's my way or the highway approach. Like so many people I interview and they preach to stay clear of animal foods. The paleo diet advocates you must eat more meat. Some advocates say track your calories in a food diary. You live by kind of, I guess it's, you said a flexible vegetarian diet. Share that philosophy.
Well, what I found in my life is when one thing sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And as you know, when you start talking about a flexitarian approach to eating, it really does get back to moderation and focusing on all the wonderful food groups out there. And I'm not big on, look, there are people out there who have food allergies and they need to 1000% do elimination diets. But for most people out there, having a flexible approach to the way you eat and primarily plant-based proteins. And look, I eat meat. I as far as I know, I'll probably occasionally eat it for the rest of my life. But I'm never big on the whole term no. No this, no that. But I will say that the reason that it's so common is it's an easy sell in the medical world to just malign something and then just tell everyone, whatever you do, don't ever eat a carbohydrate.
Right. And if you tell them that, what do they crave? Carbohydrate, because you're depriving them.
Yeah. A lot of us have that inner kid in us still where when you tell us we can't have something, we're going to have it. And so we might as well acknowledge people and say, okay, well, if you're going to have it, let's do it in a healthy way.
That's true. Since we're talking about belly fat, I've always heard a way to know if you have too much belly fat is measure the circumference around your belly button, and that number should be half your weight. So if somebody's 5'5", 66 inches, you should have a 32-inch waistline. Is this little technique still considered accurate?
You know, it really does depend on your build. But I've actually gotten to a point where I think that the waist measurement is a very effective tool, especially when you compare it to some of the concerns with the BMI.
Right.
My big thing, though, is I've gone from, okay, measure your waist, what's your baseline? And if your baseline is a 35, let's work on, you know, taking 2-3 inches off of that. And let's just start with attainable goals. And I'm not as worried about an objective number where it's, okay, it's 31 or 32 or 34 or bust. I just think people becoming cognizant of the fact that when we talk about losing belly fat and losing your gut, it's not, yeah, we're going to play up the vanity theme because it works.
Right.
But at the end of the day, every time you can notch that belt one ring closer, you're taking an inch off your waist, and that may add a year to your life. And I think I prefer to think of it more so as, because if someone has a 42-inch waist, for me to sit here and say, you really should be at 32 inches based on your height, they may think that's unattainable. But I think,
right,
you know what, let's start, let's try to get 4 inches off that waist. And let's, true, you know, let's focus on those attainable goals.
And you brought up a point. It brings more years to your life. People don't realize it's not just vanity. This belly fat is life-threatening, folks. It truly is dangerous. It creates this visceral fat, and it poisons your liver. It can hurt your heart. I mean, this is an important topic.
And it's one of the things, Dr. Freeman, that we so commonly get asked this question on the doctors. And most people ask the question because of vanity, and that's fine. But the reason we answer it so passionately and why I've written a couple of books now about belly fat and changing your gut. It's because, yeah, we all want to look our best, but at the end of the day, we also want to live our best life. And it really does, in many cases, it can start right there.
Yeah, so true. You know, on this show, I've learned so much from so many people I interview. I was just curious on the doctors. You've shared everything from home hemorrhoid remedies, jet lag cures, to overcoming phobias. Is there any particular feature or remedy that created the aha moment for you, something that you tried after learning about it and it changed your life? Anything
come to
mind?
You know, this is going to sound so silly.
Uh-huh.
But back in season one, we did a topic on a Zen alarm clock.
Right.
That instead of beeping you out of bed in the morning with this blazing, terrible alarm, it actually does a charm. And ever since then, I've used it to wake up in the morning. And I sleep better every night because I'm not terrified of my alarm going off in the morning. I actually wake up to this ding.
That's awesome.
I know it's so silly, but it's made a big difference.
No, you know what's funny? You bring that up. I had a patient last week. I was talking about, you know, I clicked my alarm three times, and I said, you know, that word alarm, that's not a positive word in first thing in the morning. If you're alarmed, that's always a negative, a fire alarm, warning alarm, danger alarm. So this is a neat concept because I've always thought that. Why would you want an alarm clock to alarm you to wake up each day?
We have enough to do in the morning, much less have to have a heart attack when our alarm goes off.
Yeah, it's chime to wake up. I like that better than the alarm clock says get up. It's chime. Interesting. Is that? Hey, in the 1 minute we have left, anything else listeners should know? Why should they grab a copy of Lose Belly Fat? Anything we didn't
cover? I think the biggest thing is, again, I wrote the book. It's called The Lose Your Belly Diet, Change Your Gut, Change Your Life, because if you can start with your next meal, and the beauty is studies show that within 3-4 days of changing the way you eat, you can start to change your gut bacteria makeup and start to lose weight, feel better, improve your immune system. And the key is it happens quick. People can see really quick changes in their health. And it's the new year, new you time period. And I always tell people it's never too late. And also, last but not least, this topic has been one that I've adopted in my own life, and I've seen some of the benefits in my own health. And bacteria, they're not all bad, and we should take better care of them.
Doc, thanks so much for being on the show. Always a pleasure having you with us. The Lose Your Belly Diet, Change Your Gut, Change Your Life book is available at all major bookstores and Amazon.com. For more information on the Doctor's syndicated TV show, visit thedoctorstv.com. You can follow Dr. Stork on Twitter at Travis Stork MD. And for my daily health tweets, you can follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Stay up to date with all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.